Okay. Somebody decides they want to buy it. I think that's foolish, ridiculous, and I don't think anybody would. But the idea that we can continue to package these lies is changing, and I'm really proud of the Department of Insurance for doing that. Anyway, I'll circle back on that. Right now, let's go and take a quick phone call from, I believe it's Dave. Dave, are you there?
I'm here.
Great. Thanks for calling.
Dealing with all the turmoil going on, my question is... I've been through 9/11, I've been through 2008, and now this one. But you know what? It always comes back.
Mm-hmm.
It always gets better. So my question is, we feel really financially secure. What about freezing my credit? Is that a good idea, bad idea? We have no intention of ever borrowing money again.
Great question.
So your opinion, sir.
Yes, freeze it. I did.
Okay.
I froze mine, and the reason why is if I have to, I want to change credit cards because I, Southwest used to come here, right? Then they don't,
yep.
And now it's Alaska everywhere, so I use the Alaska card. That's not a pitch. I'm just saying it, right? You might want to change credit cards, so you need to unfreeze it with a phone call, and then you have to freeze it again. But I'm like you. I've never had to unfreeze it, and I've had it frozen for years now. So I just don't think there's any reason to. It's a way that somebody can get in, hack you, cause you problems and grief and, identity theft. I just think it makes no sense. If you're not immediately using credit or planning on doing it, then absolutely freeze it. That's my opinion.
What is the process for doing that?
Good question. What you have to do is you call up, I believe it's credit agencies, and they will freeze it for you. So I think you can do that. Simply, what I would do just to, Dave, I did this so long ago, I can't remember specifically, but I would go on and simply Google, how do I freeze my credit? And I mean, you'll get bam. It'll be like, Experian, I think it is. Is it Experian? And companies like that, they'll pop right up and you can just probably email them and get it done. But if not, you won't prefer to phone, call them. I'm sure that they've got an 800 number listed there as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Dave. Good question.
And
yes.
Welcome back.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye now. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Jim, I'm going to have you hold because you know why. We got to pay bills here, and I've got a commercial break to get out of the way. So we're going to grab that real quick. And again, our number, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. And thank you again. I've been out for a couple of weeks. Decided it'd be a good idea to marry the most wonderful person on the world, and I did. 2 weeks ago. So I thank you for, and I thank most of all, of course, Jennifer Stone and Erica Much, who came in and pitched in. And I know they do a great job, and they really do a great job. I listen to and appreciate it. So thank you again. We're back in the saddle. So give us a call at 580-KIDO, dave@petsofinancial.net. Let's go to Jim. Jim, thanks for calling and waiting. Thank you.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning.
It's in my humble opinion, it's nice to know that the greatest person on the world is a female.
she's the nicest, sweetest thing, yep.
Well, are you having a merry leap day?
I am, as a matter of fact. I don't know what I'm going to do today. Probably I'm going to have something, a cocktail or something in memory of, once every 4-year experience, but probably it won't be real exciting at the Petso household.
Yeah, my grandmother had a birthday then. She'd say something like, I'm 16 today or whatever the hell,
Yeah.
But, we had an interesting week this past week.
Sure did, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about that at the top of the hour, too. It's just something that we need to try to put in the right context, so I will be talking more about that. It was a bizarre week.
I had an interesting thing. I wanted to buy some stock, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to buy Delta. Okay, now Delta, I think their high was like 55, and they were down to about 51 or so. So I put a buy order at 45. This past week, they got down to $45.03 and then went back up.
Well, who knows? Maybe you'll get it this week. But I, for one, am hoping for a little bit of a bounce back this coming week. So,
well,
just to steady the troops, if you will.
You know how things are. I mean, a lot of things are overblown. I can't believe, though, that what's happening now is over already. You know, it's got to extend a little bit longer.
We'll see. I don't know. It's in my opinion. Again, I'm going to talk a little bit about it in the next hour because I've got a little bit of, a little bit of teaching about our current, what our market is, and what's driving it right now. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that in the top of the hour. But Jim, this is overdone. I mean, it's just plain old overdone.
Well, you know, these days everybody is suspicious of everybody else, and it's kind of like everybody knows that the media itself is against Trump. So maybe the media itself is, you know, promoting whatever the hell, you know. You can't trust anybody with anything.
No, that's very true. It's a very weird state we're in. We have, supposedly this really serious virus, right? And what are we doing with that? We're going to turn it into what did the New York Times call it? Trump virus. It might as well be called the Trump virus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did. I mean, it's like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you just got to... I personally have to believe that this kind of endless stupidity by the press, by the hate Trumpers, and he certainly brings it on himself. I get all that. But this is just over the top. I mean, it's one thing after the other. They just can't get over the fact that he's the president. They're not. And he's actually doing a phenomenal job in there. You don't have to like the guy. He's doing a great job. So the idea that what was it, a month ago, he's a racist for, according to what, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, he was a racist for shutting down flights into our country. And then a month later, he isn't doing enough. It's just absolutely unbelievable. Instead of coming together to try to solve these problems, it's anything to blame Trump for a virus out of China.
There was the argument, you know, it's not just prejudicial, for instance, to keep everybody and their mother out of the country, but like to screen them for diseases. And now you ever hear a perfect example of why they should be screened. Yep. Well, you know, I heard that the sales of Corona beer last week were down, so I went out to Winco and bought a couple of 12-packs.
There you go. That'll cure the virus right there.
I'm doing my bit.
There you go.
So anyway, other thing, you know, things are good with me and all that kind of thing, and just
good.
Whatever. I'm virus-free as far as I know.
Well, as far as I know, although I seem to have managed to, I can't. Maybe there is some early season here. I seem to almost have an allergy kind of thing, you know, not really a cold, but I'm sneezing now, so I'm hoping.
Well, so far I've been okay. And I go down to the library, get on their computers, and if there's any place probably more unhealthy than the library, I don't know where it would be. You know,
I don't know either. That's true, and that's why when I'm in Seattle with my granddaughter. They live near a library, so we often go there. But I mean, I'm telling you, you hit that little, whatever. What am I trying to say? The goo for your hands, whatever, on the in and out while you're there. It's you're right.
And I never even wiped down the keyboard. I mean, I live dangerously.
Yeah. So. Well, it's a very good idea in the cold and flu season, not because of coronavirus, just because you don't want to get the flu, right?
True.
Yep.
Right, well, anyway, have a great next week.
Thank you, sir.
And wish me luck that Delta gets down to 45.
I hear you. I know. All right. But I'm not wishing you luck.
Appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. There we go. And if you prefer email, once again, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Hey, I did touch on this, and I want to kind of finish up this thought a little bit. We have been very hard on the Department of Insurance for allowing equity indexed annuities to be sold because they are only sold. They're never purchased because people with full understanding of what's in them. And one of the things I want to say that I am very, very proud of them for is they heard us. They asked us to come in about a year ago and to look at some of the data we had. And you've heard me talk about it and talk about some actual cases and showed some actual information that these pimps pass out to their victims. And it's really very misleading. It's really quite unbelievable, right? You can say... we're going to give you 7%, 7.2% to be precise, because your death benefit will double in, or your income benefit will double in 10 years. And splash that on the front, and then somewhere back in on page 433, you let people know that actually the real rate of return is less than 3%. It's not real. And how you can say something, splash it up in front. My point is, they let this happen. People who have licenses like I do, a securities license, that I'm run a registered investment advisory firm, that I'm a certified financial planner, all three would require full disclosure. And you can't lie. So what do people do? They drop their licenses to keep their insurance license. And then you have a license to steal. And so he's saying, listen, this is what you operate. This is what you run. This is what your jurisdiction is a group of people that drop licenses except to keep yours because you let them get away with murder. And they heard it. And they came and they have now passed through the House. Some hard fought. This hard. It's hard. Isn't it hard to change things, to get new laws passed? It's hard. And they did it. Now, we got to get it through the Senate. And so I really want to ask you to please. It's coming up next week. This legislative session is almost done. Almost done. And we got to get this done. You know the insurance lobby is going to be strong. You know that they're going to be misleading because they want to keep pimping these products. And before you think that this is some kind of competitive statement, anybody can write these products. Okay? As long as you have full disclosure, I can still even be a certified financial planner. I can still be a RIA. But my fiduciary responsibility, legally as well as morally, says I have to do the right thing by clients. We won't use the product. We don't. Because it's terrible. It's not competitive. Please call your senators. We need this. We need to get this through the Senate committee. We need to get this done. You just don't get very many shots. You know what I mean? It could take years again to come up with something. And look, it's not going far enough. I know that. The products ought to be outlawed. They ought to be. But they're not. And they're not going to get there. Not this quickly. Please, state senators who are listening, please look at this bill. Don't be influenced. This is terrible. These are terrible, terrible products. And all we're really asking is that there has to be adequate disclosure and that advertising needs to be approved by the state Department of Insurance before you can just slap phony labels and phony advertising on there. Seniors are easily swayed. They're easily fearful. And that's who buys these products. Please call your senators. All right. That's enough of that. But it's exciting. It is. And again, I've been tough on the Department of Insurance, and I think rightfully. But they've honored our request to hear us, and they have responded. And I am very proud of them for doing that. It's not an easy thing to do. Anyway, again, I'm very happy about that. We are going to talk about the market right after the news at the top of the hour. I hope you'll join us for hour number two of Money Matters. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two upcoming, and of course, as we always say, these are my opinions and my opinions only, and they are not this station's broker-dealer, anybody else. And of course, we mention stocks, and we talk about them, and it doesn't mean that when I talk about Apple and Google and others, which I will be, I am going to be doing that today, that you should go out and buy them. I don't know your portfolio or your objectives, and that is absolutely absurd. We're not here to tell you what to buy, and sell. That's beyond dumb. we need to not care about those things for sure. Okay. All right. So before I dive into the market this week, I was asked, and I thank you very much for pointing this out, folks. The bill that I talked about, the House bill that's there to try to protect seniors a little bit better. And I also want to make this clear, too, because the only reason that anybody would vote against this is, of course, an insurance company lobbyist, all right, promising something. I don't know, a trip down the Maine salmon or something. I don't know. But also the idea that we have that we need more government regulation. I understand that. But anyway, the House bill is H-526. House Bill 526 is the bill that's coming over for, and it got out of the House not by the margin we had hoped for. So I want to make it clear what this bill is trying to do. It's not extensive. It doesn't go very far. I think they ought to outlaw this product totally. But because if you want guarantees, there's so many other ways to do that. But when you can lie and tell people you get to have market returns with no risk on the downside, that is a lie. And nobody with any character could say that. Nobody with any licenses could say that, except an insurance license. So what they are asking to do are two things. Make it so the product can only, I mean, can you imagine this? Like, they're really restrictive here. Only have 10% surrender charges for 10 years. Okay, that's not exactly restrictive, folks. But believe it or not, there's worse crap out there than this. Pardon the French. There's worse stuff out there. So they want to limit the surrender charges charged to senior citizens. So when you put your money in and then find out a year later, you can only lose 10% of your money. Okay? Not exactly restricting free trade, right? So it's nice. It just doesn't do much. But this, I want you to understand, this bill does this. This is the most important part of it. All advertising must be approved by the Department of Insurance. It's never been done before. That's the important part. Why is that important? Because now you can't lie. They can't just come out and say, we have a 7.2% return. I can guarantee you, I heard them say this on this station. I can guarantee you, I think it was like a 12% first-year return. But you can't get your money out. What is that? Oh, it's a bonus annuity. It takes it back over the next 12 years in lower returns, and so you never really actually get it in the first place. That kind of stuff won't be allowed. That's why it's so important. The advertising that where they are now have to have approval for advertising. I don't think that's government getting in the way of free trade at all. But the Idaho Freedom Index, right, says it is. So I get it. People don't understand insurance is so complicated. And these products, this is the other reason they should be outlawed, are so complex and complicated that nobody understands them. They're just horrifying. Theft is what it is. But at least we're making some inroads here. So for the senators that are don't understand it, don't get it, but call my office. I'm fine with that. We have to stop this nonsense. And we can't stop it, but we can certainly stop the out-and-out lying by requiring that the advertising be approved. Be truthful, because it won't be approved if it's not truthful. House Bill 526, okay? Please, 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 please call your senators. Make sure they're on board. The final step, and it's just not something we can just try and do next year. We'll have many more victims piled up before we get something done. And they're only asking of any importance in this bill that the unethical, horrifying advertising be approved. That's it. Which then means simply no more lies. You have to tell the truth in your advertising. That doesn't sound like an overreach of government to me. And you know me, probably more libertarian than I am conservative. All right? House Bill H 526. All right. Any other questions? We absolutely would be delighted to take those and help you fully understand them, next week at the office. Okay? All right. I want to talk about the market. I know you want to talk about the market. I don't want to really talk about the market because, as our caller said in the last hour, markets bounce back. But I think it's important that we understand what actually happened last week. Why didn't it happen before? And what are we going to do about it? Okay? First one, what happened last week? I don't know. No, I'll tell you what. I don't know why it didn't happen before, why we didn't go into a steadier, slower decline because of uncertainty. Here's what happened last week. Remember, we talk about this, and it's very important to understand, and I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but 80% of the trading on the New York Stock Exchange is done by machines. Now, that's wrong. It's silly. But you know what? Wall Street is a den of thieves. It's okay. They can be a den of thieves. You don't have to be part of that. But they are. And they don't care about capital markets, actually. They just care that they get trades done. And so they don't care if markets go down, up, as long as trades are going on. Now, markets shouldn't be manipulated up. But we used to have a rule called an uptick rule, where you just couldn't beat down the market and just sell, causing more triggers and more machines to push the market down. You had to have an uptick, just a penny, just up, stop, then you could sell short again. It served the markets very well for 50 years, and the idiots got rid of it. Why? For money. That's why. Why do I say idiots? It's not just idiots. It's the bureaucrats are idiots. They don't know what's going on, and they get pushed. But I think the reality is just simple, unadulterated greed. They want the markets flying all over the place and doing lots of trades because that's how the New York Stock Exchange makes money on each contract, each share of stock. Penny here, half a penny there, and it adds up. So if volume is high because machines buy, sell based on nothing more than, let's say, an algorithm that says if it hits this particular price level, or you read a news report somewhere around the world, artificial intelligence, these computers are just moving at light speed, of course, right? Another spread of virus, boom. Whatever it is, the algorithm is set to buy or sell, it's done automatically. So with over 80% of the trading done by machines, it hits certain levels. Now, why do I know that that was the big driver? Well, number one, it's 80% of the trading, so that is almost always the big driver. You can have fundamental buying, but let's deal with what this virus really is, okay? And I'm not a scientist, but I am going to say this. The flu in the United States alone will kill between 25 and 70,000 people this year and every year. In the United States alone, hundreds of thousands of people will die globally of the flu. Ballparking this, even if you say, well, the Chinese lie and the number's a lot larger, fine, double it. I don't care. 6,000 Chinese have died then, if you say it's like 3,000. They say it's 3,000. Almost nobody anywhere else in the world has died of this. But they're dropping like flies from the flu. It doesn't make any sense. Yes, we should restrict travel from places like China that are absurdly contaminated and lied about this. And no, we don't know where it came from and all those things. We will. We'll find out in time. But this isn't the kind of rational thing. It would be rational to take out the, if you will, the cruise liners, the cruise ships, and say, and shoot those stocks. Nobody's going to get on a cruise ship for a while. Okay, temporary, but a real and permanent loss of revenue for this period of time. They'll be back. People get on ships again. It's a pretty good bargain. People like it. It's fun. They're going to do it again. And not a lot of people have died on cruise ships. It's a pretty safe thing. However, when there's a big virus, you really don't want to hang around with a couple thousand of your best friends, right? You just don't. From multiple countries, you have no idea if these people ever wash their hands, type of thing, right? That makes sense. That's logical. So, is it logical that we should take and hammer Microsoft? Why? Is cloud computing slowing down? Stopping? Because of what? So that's not logical. Amazon is particularly illogical in my mind, because if we're afraid to go out, then we're going to order our stuff in, right? That's just so the logic leaves the room when we get into program selling. And I want you to understand, program selling, meaning machines, they're driving these prices down. Price levels bring on more selling. But also, if you look very any day, okay, and you see Apple, you see Microsoft, you see Amazon and Google falling a higher percentage than the market, generally. You see smaller stocks falling a smaller percentage. That's program trading, and here's the reason why. If you think of the S&P 500 as really the S&P 50, the 50 biggest stocks, and certainly the biggest 10, are the only thing that really matters. The bottom 450 don't matter. I mean, you think you buy a package of 500 stocks, you don't, because they're cap weighted, meaning the biggest stocks, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Google, the biggest ones have the huge weight in the index. So when the index is selling off, those stocks are driven down more. And that happened every single day, every single tick, all week long, until Friday. We'll come back to that. That's why when we look at this and you go, this has nothing to do with the fundamentals of coronavirus. It's an excuse to sell. The best thing you can do is, unless you have a Leon Cooperman, Warren Buffett, there's maybe a handful. But if you get idiots out there, you know, that are just talking their book on CNBC, blah, 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 blah. The J.P. Morgan guy, Kelly, he doesn't have any idea what's going on. These people are just trying to keep their job. Okay? Ellerian, he hasn't been right for a decade either. I don't know why they're on, but they're on. Okay? And this is noise, so you need to turn the TV off. It isn't helping you digest what's really going on. I have to say, I don't have CNBC on in my office ever. I mean, ever. If there's a press conference I have to see, that's fine. It's available on Fox. It's available on Yahoo, for crying out loud, if you can tolerate the idiots that run that. And pardon me, I don't mean to call everybody an idiot. That's not very nice of me. But when they're so biased politically, you don't get any good reporting. It's just worthless. That's what I should say, not idiots, worthless reporting. That's the problem with what's going on out there online or anywhere else. But if I need to see a press conference of some kind, like I wanted to see the president's press conference this week about the coronavirus. I wanted to hear from the experts, not so much the president. Well, of course, I wanted to see whether he was going to be presidential or you know, talk about Mini Mike or something, you know. And he did a great job. And the people around him made me feel like this is not even a problem, because they're on it. It's not going to be a problem. Doesn't mean people aren't going to get sick. But that's why I'm saying we have to try to pull away and not look at the noise. Because I'll tell you what, there was nothing but out-and-out weirdness, panic this week for no logical reason. I mean, no logical reason. And the machines drove the market down. It certainly makes sense to take travel and leisure companies out and shoot them. It's irrational to take Microsoft out and shoot it. That's what program selling does. That's what the machines do. They just sell everything. That is opportunity. That is opportunity. So people ask, as I finish this up here, well, what do you do? What are you doing? I'm buying a little here, a little there, a little more here, a little there. I don't think I'm going to guess the bottom. But when you take 20% off of Microsoft, which I don't quite own enough of, right? I can get a full position in it now. When Disney moves from 140 or 150, and it's way more than Shanghai Disneyland being closed. Okay? It's a big company. A category killer, if you will. They're not going anywhere unless the world is done. And you take it from 140 down into the 100 and teens, that makes sense to me. Maybe it goes to 100, maybe lower. So we get to feel stupid temporarily while we get to buy bargains for the long term. And I'm not telling you to go buy Disney or Microsoft, but maybe you missed Apple. Apple's at 340, now it's at 270? Interesting, and it pays a dividend. So does Microsoft. Cisco's dividend's 3.5%. Or you can buy a 10-year treasury at 1.25 this week? Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I don't want 3.5. I want 1.25 that can't go up, even though Cisco has raised its dividend every year for the past 10 years, and it's currently 3 times the rate I'm getting on a 10-year treasury. I don't know. These are amazing companies, and they get discounted from time to time. That is the real story when you're dealing with an irrational market. Yes, there's an economic impact. Of course there's an economic impact. Temporary and minor. When people don't get on airplanes for a little while. When trade is slowed down, factories are slowed down in places like China. This does not revalue Microsoft and Apple 25% lower. That's the irrational exuberance, if you will, on the downside. All right, we got to take a quick break here, and our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate the emails. We're going to bounce through a couple of those, but I love phone calls, and we have only had a couple today. Come on, I've been gone a couple of weeks. Got to have a couple questions out there. The market was it was a nice calm week this week, too, huh? 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. And again, if you do prefer email, it's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. This one from Rob. Again, reiterating on House Bill 526. Thank you for your voice. I'm in the industry with you, and I emailed my rep, Scott Groh, today because of you. Please keep it up. I've helped plenty of people that were sold these predatory annuities, and it's absolutely infuriating and disgusting. Rob, thank you. I appreciate the thumbs up. And again, I want to reiterate this as we're talking about this and our industry and these people that push these products on seniors. This is not a competitive question. Rob and I can be in the same industry here and help people, and we just simply, you can't help everybody, right? It's not a competitive thing. We need to get out there and protect these folks, okay? Again, it's House Bill 526. Please call your senators. It made it through the House, but it was way closer than we thought it would be, okay? All right. And, yes, thank you. I already gave the number here. Let's go to another one. A friend of mine retired 3 weeks ago when the market was at an all-time high. Now it is down a bit, and I worry for my friend, hoping he had some cash on hand to weather this storm. I'm about 5 years from retirement myself and was wondering, when the time comes, how much cash should I have in my account for market corrections like this, 1 year, 2 years? Thanks, Dave, and congratulations on your marriage. Thank you, Mike. Absolutely fantastic question. It depends on where the market is. And cash is different. we don't like cash now because what does cash pay? It pays zero. So I'm going to say it's very little in cash. But what I do want, and I would never think you'd want to be bragging about 2% or 3% or 5% returns, but there are several things out there that offer those returns with very little risk, very, very little risk. And certainly historically, no risk. Now, what I mean by that historically no risk is that they're not volatile, right? They don't go down with markets. They don't. They can move a penny or two, but they aren't going to be like down 30% if you get in a bad bear market. And this is exactly why when you head into retirement, let's just call it cash-like, okay? Let's talk cash-like or low-earning instruments, okay? Low volatility. I want to have 3 to 5 years. Now, how do you have 3 to 5 years? So let's go back and think about this. And I'm not going to go into the whole retirement planning, you know, deal. But if I have 5 years worth of income set aside, I can make it through a bear market. Any bear market that has been around in the last 50 years, I'm going to make it through, right? So I'm not having to sell my stocks down. That's what we have to avoid in retirement. That's the whole thing. The whole thing. And that's why when we talk about yields, we talk about the amazing yields that you're getting on Microsoft and Cisco and companies that just raise their dividends year after year after year after year. And today are yielding way more. And the S&P is yielding way more than a 10-year treasury, believe it or not. It's unbelievable. But we talk about, oh my gosh, the market did this or this. I'm talking about income for life you can't outlive. That's the only thing that matters, right? And so what do you do when you get there? As you get 5 years, you're a year or two out. I want to see a portfolio that's 3 to 5 years. But in today's world, about 60% of our income needs, if we're taking 4 or 5% out, can and are met with normal dividend flow. And we can still get growth of those dividends, right? And so what we're talking about is I don't need to have 5 years cash to have 5 years income. What I need, and let's just make the numbers easy, okay? Let's say 60% of whatever I need, I'm generating with my portfolio. Not by selling anything, just the income off of it, the dividends. The Microsoft sends me a dividend. The Cisco sends me a dividend. My global growth and income mutual fund sends dividends out every quarter. Okay? That's 60% of what I need. So what do I need to have 5 years? Two. I need 2 years in a cash-like as you enter in retirement, because I want 5 years. And on an ongoing basis, I want that to be fluctuating no less than 3 years and no more than five. It can be more than five. That's fine. I mean, it's fine if you really, you know, like you hit a home run, you just keep in some more building up, and it's fine. But no less than 3, 5 years, why? And what tells me 3 or 5? One, if we could get paid higher interest, like money markets used to pay 4 or 5%, I'm fine with holding cash. You don't have to do anything more. And you could hold a little bit more because it isn't going to be such a drag on the rest of your income, right? So you could be closer to 5 years, number one. Number two, though, is if the market is very high, like we came out of last year, we're up 25% in a diversified portfolio last year, 30 on the S&P, it is prudent not to say that the market's going to have a 10% correction, which we did this week. It's prudent to say we always will have those, right? That's a certainty. So what we're doing is we're simply moving it towards 5 years at a market high. Not a guess. We're not going to cash. Not at all. We're just simply saying, market's good. I want more cash. Market's bad. I need less. We're already, by definition, if we're down 25%, we are already 25% less risky. Period. You may think, want to rip your hair out, run around with your pants on fire, watch too much TV, watch too much news, get really fussed up. But the fact is, it's 25% less risky than it was before, even though you don't feel like that. And when that happens, you don't need as much cash because we've de-risked a ton in the market. Okay? So hopefully that helps. So you want to kind of have those outside things. And there's many things out there, so many things that are now available through real estate that's traded out there that has very low volatility. It's kind of an interesting thing. They're called interval funds. They've got real estate. They've got some notes out there, floating rate notes, if you're worried about interest rates rising. There's just a lot of stuff out there to get a little more than zero yield like we are. And even money markets out there now are, what, 1.5%? Not great, but you have some earnings there. Okay? All right. So hopefully that helps. And what a great question that is. And we talk about it all the time. And if you have any follow-up, let's do that. Right now, I got to take a quick break, though. And it's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We got to take a break for Fox News. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And I think we probably just better jump on those phone calls that have come in. So let's go to Terry. Terry, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Well, good morning, Professor.
Good morning, sir.
Is your return timing an auspicious example of how not to time things? You could have waited another week to come back, you know.
I I'll tell you what, as charming as it is, obviously, on your honeymoon anyway, to be in Hawaii this time of year is, I could have easily stayed another week. That wouldn't hurt my feelings at all. You talk about coming back and jumping into the fire.
Yeah. Well, as conservative as you are in your recommendations and such, is this a time to have a list together of maybe one or two speculative stocks, say to buy 10 shares for Erica's child that's coming, or you know, stuff like that? Something out there to leave to the grandkids and the great-grandkids.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect opportunity because it is, as I talked about before, this is a it's very easy to say the machines did this, and they may do more of it next week, but they did. So when you see companies like Apple, which is not exactly a speculative company, but you don't have to speculate, but there are plenty of them out there. I'll tell you what I would speculate in are things like the Internet of Things, which is exchange-traded funds. So you don't have to pick which stock is going to be the greatest 5G company, right? They come in the form of an ETF. Or how about robotics? Artificial intelligence.
Right. See, the one that caught my eye was Virgin Galactic, you know, space stations and such.
Okay, here's why I would avoid those, okay? And again, I'm not picking on Virgin Galactic, okay?
Well, I just threw that out there. It was the last one I saw.
But this is one that ran straight up like, whatever, 300% and ran straight down. It's kind of like it almost, though, some of those took off like that, and when they do, stay away. Number one, they're losing money crazily, and who knows if they're going to be the people that are ferrying stuff into space or not. I just think we can just kind of wait for that to play out, or wait for the next ETF that buys all the ones that are, you know, building rockets now. That to me is, when you're making a single company bet, I want a little more quality on a speculative flyer.
Yeah. Which is your nature.
It is more my nature, but I tell you, I do like a good speculation if you find some insight. But trying to grab something because it has just flamed out is like trying to grab the pot stocks on their way to zero.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Catch a falling knife. Yeah. I was thinking of nanobots and things like that, too.
Absolutely. But that's why I think you do that with an ETF. You don't know what they are. You don't know who's going to win. But you're going to buy or own 50 different companies in that space. And I think that's the way to do it. Cybersecurity is another one.
Okay, sure. Well, congratulations and welcome back.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
All right. Good
day. Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. And that's a great thought, too, for, you know, it's not that you want to go out and speculate. That's not what people like to do. But the idea, when you get a bargain like this, to jump into something that you have missed, right? Or has, you know, it's like, gosh, darn it, I've always liked Disney. And now all of a sudden, bam, it's down a lot. You know, I always liked J.P. Morgan. Boom, there it is, down a lot. Are they going out of business? Probably not. They've got a pretty solid balance sheet. Those are the speculations I prefer. And everybody has their own level. And don't get me wrong, I've done a lot. I've thrown lots of money away on really speculative things that I thought I knew about. But I didn't know what I was getting into. Be careful if you are speculating, and that's totally great, with a small amount of money into a down market. Just make sure that the companies can sustain themselves and keep going. Let's go to Joe in Boise. Joe, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Dave. How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good, thanks. Thanks for your advice. I had a couple questions about, I had a college debt a long time ago. I graduated college in 1990, 20 years ago. But when I was 19 in college, I got a lot of credit cards from, incurred debt maybe $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, you know, because I was 19 and 20, I didn't think.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. I don't know, it's predatory on young kids. I don't know if they still do that, but that was a long time ago. So after I graduated in 1999, 2000, I did the debt consolidation, and I paid this, I paid that, but my income was still very low, so I had to decide between, you know, like paying rent and buying food or paying these debts. I said, forget it. I just let it go.
Yeah.
So my question is, at what point, is it 7 years, and they try to collect it, and then it goes to another agency, they try to collect it, and after that, it's a write-off? How does that work? Do you know, I heard many stories about that.
Do you know
how that works?
I have, too, and I don't know exactly. I think they give up after a period of time. But to my knowledge, it's not, like, legal that they can't come back. And I've certainly seen people that have loans that are more than 7 years old that they're still getting letters on, and or even have people come after them. I know from my own experience in the past that I've had to pay off debts that were nothing to do with me. They had to do with my wife, my former wife. And was right, because now then I was required to do that. And so anyway, it's there's a lot of different things that have changed over the years. And this goes back over 30 years ago for me. So
right.
I'm telling you very old data based on personal experience, which is dangerous. But Joe, I would I'm afraid you'd have to probably spend some time Googling this or talk to an attorney say, hey, and I know bankruptcy attorneys are busy and you don't want to pay that kind of fee. See if you can't research and find out exactly, but order a credit report on you, and you can see right there what's open and what's not. In other words, are they still trying to collect or think they're going to?
And the weirdest thing, I just applied for a credit card. I haven't had a credit card in 20 years. 20 years.
Wow.
So I thought my credit, and I applied for a credit card, and I got back my score. I was like 745.
Huh.
Isn't that good?
That's. I think that's very good. I don't. You know, it's not. What is it? In the high 700s is excellent, but it's good. I think that's good. That's crazy. So clearly, it's not much on your record.
The weirdest thing, I couldn't get the credit card because, well, recently I had some doctor visits and dental visits, and I couldn't exactly pay the whole thing. And I feel, and so they wrote me some bad comments that are on my report. That's what I understand when I asked them, why couldn't I get. They said, well, your credit score is high, but you have this negative comments. How long do those negative comments take to fall off your record? Do you know?
I don't know. I think you probably have to have them remove them. If, in other words, when you pay the bill, then have them remove that.
Oh, right. They remove that. So you don't. They don't just fall off. You have to have them actually physically remove it from your record.
I believe you do, yes. I do believe that that's true, that it's not going to just fall off. I don't know if there's a time limit. Maybe I know if I'm looking at something that's 10 years old, I'm going to be not too worried about what it says, right?
Exactly.
I wouldn't worry too much about that comment, but and also it's more they're data-driven. They're not going to be comment-driven on what your score is. Okay, those comments are just there because, you know, somebody's saying, it's just like a Google review, right? I mean, if the product works and most people have said yes, but I have a bad experience, I might write in and say, hey, be aware, Joe's restaurant isn't very good. Here's what they did, and they didn't take care of the problem, and I think people ought to know about that. That's what that is.
Also, one more question, Dave, before I go. Thank you for answering these questions.
Yeah.
How does your college loan, college debt from, you know, college, I had college loans to help me through my college, do they affect your credit score, or is that separate, you know, when you have college debt?
No, I certainly think it affects your score. I think that affects your score.
It does?
I certainly had no indication that that does not, yeah. And it is never forgiven. You can't bankrupt that away either.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Well,
okay.
Thanks for all the questions. And Yeah, as far as the debt from 20 years ago, I'm not gonna lose any sleep over that. I think I'll live.
Gotcha. Absolutely. Okay, Joe, I thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Take care. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You do the same. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll take our final break, and hopefully you'll be lined up on the phone when we get back. 580-KIDO. Wow. You know what? It's hard to leave Hawaii. It's awful fun to be on your honeymoon, as we all know, and but it is great to be back with you. No kidding, really. This has been the fastest hour and a half. I mean, I just, what a blur. Anyway, fun. Thank you for welcoming me back with phone calls and emails. And I just want to, real quick before we jump on these phones here, real quick, Brett, this is a great point. I love it because I loved Louis Rukeyser. When the market drops like it did this past week, I like to watch the YouTube video after the crash from the week ending October 23rd, 1987 from Wall Street Week. It's a wonderful way to calm the nerves. Yes. Best regards, Brett. Thank you, Brett, for reminding me. And I am going to look for that this weekend because you're right. You're quite right. Just for memory's sake, I was around in 87 when the market, I mean, I was in the business, right? All right. Thank you very much. And Don, great question on buying stock. I am going to dive into that next week, or you can call me and we'll dive into it. All right. All right. Now let's go to the phones here real quick and see if we can get these calls in before we're done. Mitch, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, John Templeton said that bull markets die in euphoria, and he was right, of course. But this bull market may die on irrationality. It's just the fundamentals have not changed.
You're right. They have not. In fact, they've gotten better, right? I mean, our economy is getting better, and the world is still suffering because of too big a government, and they can't shake that in Europe, and that is a real problem for them. It's going to take more time and a lot less government to get rid of it. They've tried negative interest rates, and it won't work. If it worked, then it would have really worked by now. So, again, government intervention is not working there, and it won't.
May I add something? Yes. I watched Louis Rukeyser when I was a young man, just out of college in 87 when the market crashed. Mm-hmm. And John Templeton was on This Week, Wall Street Week, whatever his name.
Yes, you're right.
And he said, stocks are a very good thing to own. Do not panic. And I was just a couple of years out of college, and I was working on the campus of Stanford University. And people were saying gloom and doom. And I never forgot that. And at the time, I only owned maybe $10,000 in Nicholas Fund at the time. Mm-hmm. And I never sold.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's worth, I don't know, how many multiples off that? See, in 87, we went from 3,000 down to 1,700 on the Dow. So 10X.
Yeah.
More than 10X. Yeah. Goodness gracious. Yeah. Way more than 10X. Yes. Yeah. Good for you hanging in there, Mitch. That's awesome. Good lesson
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Have a good day. And let's see. Let's go to John in Nampa. John, thanks for holding.
Well, thank you, Dave, and congratulations on your wedding.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay, so my wife and I'm 65. My wife is 63. We've been working our entire lives. Last 10 years, I've been putting over 50% of my income into our 401. Anyhow, I just wonder, we owe $100,000 left on our house. Would it be, prudent to take $100,000 out of our 401, pay off the house, and just start throwing money into savings?
No. It's going to be a taxable event, first of all, right? You're just going to pull that out and bam. And so you're going to have to pull out $150 to keep $100 to pay it off. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't want to do that. So if you want to accelerate it, do it at a more moderate pace. We're in a world now where you can borrow money at 3%, right? And you can go out. If you had a higher mortgage rate, you don't have to remortgage your house for 30 years. Go down and do the free deal for a 10-year at any of the credit unions, right? And they just do a drive-by appraisal, got your $100,000, pay it off, and they have no loan origination fees. And I think they're at a 3% rate. It's crazy. But that's what I would look at instead. And take your time. In other words, take it out, you know, $20,000 a year instead of jumping your tax bracket super high. Because, again, out of your 401k or IRA, it's going to be fully taxable. And if you don't have a lot of what we call non-qualified money, meaning money that has already been taxed, I would not use all of that on the house either. Okay, you need to have some of that. So when it's time to buy a car or a big trip or something like that, once again, we're not pulling all of that out of a fully taxable IRA and jumping your tax bracket. So John, balance it out. I'm not opposed to you paying it off. You're down to $100,000. If you want to do that, go ahead. But do it over a measured period to not jump your tax bracket.
All right. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you. Have a great day. And
thank
we
you.
Are just about out of time, doggone it. And I'd love to go another hour. Let's just see. Well, Debbie probably wants to do a program on gardening, so we're going to have to wait till next week. Hey, folks, please call your senators. And let's just make sure we get this bill. It's not an overreach of government to simply say we want to look at the advertising before we approve. That's all. That's all this bill does. It's not invasive at all, and we need it. We can't allow false advertising against seniors. House Bill H526. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.